don't think I'm the only one. Some of us, maybe even most of us, have a bad habit of beating ourselves up over past mistakes. We ruminate over what went wrong, and we're so frustrated by what we said and did in that moment, things we cannot take back or undo. Some of us even talk out loud to ourselves. What were you thinking? You are so stupid. We mutter and sputter as we ruminate and lecture ourselves with all of the shoulds. I've done it, and even though I know it is not helpful, I still catch myself doing it from time to time. But there is a better way. In today's episode, I'm going to suggest a healthy, productive way to think about the past. It does not involve rumination and self-loathing. It is called personal reflection. With personal reflection, you can turn any mistake into a learning opportunity by asking yourself 8 simple questions and being honest with yourself with your answers. Want to learn how? Let's dive in to today's episode. Hey, friend, are you a people-pleasing, conflict-avoiding leader? Is your secret relationship with fear affecting your leadership decisions? Do you want to learn how to build credibility and confidence or to navigate difficult conversations? Do you long to manage your time without sacrificing your family or self-care? Welcome to Leadership Becomes Her. I'm Becky Burrows, your host and a minister and life and leadership coach with over 50 years experience in leadership. Now, I firmly believe God has given you everything you need to lead well. You have the toolbox. You just need to learn how to use the tools. So get comfy or start a mindless task. You know how to pause or rewind if you need to. Let's get started. Now, I'm a strong believer in having a healthy mindset, so it is something I carefully guard. But that hasn't always been the case, and like everyone else, if I'm not careful, I can spiral with the best of them. Nothing makes me spiral faster than when I say or do something that does not reflect my value system, what matters to me, who I am at the core. And like most people, when I disappoint myself, I can beat myself up pretty badly about it. The first time I heard someone say, "Well, clearly that's not a person of integrity or he would not have done that," I wondered how often someone jumps to that conclusion based on someone else's behavior. But I think what is more common than encountering someone without integrity is encountering someone who is violating their own integrity. Let's say you are a woman who has vowed to yourself not to gossip, and then you catch yourself gossiping. You have violated your own integrity. You know better. You don't talk about people behind their back. That's not who you are. And yet, you did it. So it makes you angry that you did not live up to your own values. Or you are committed to being a patient, loving parent, yet something happens at a moment when you're tired or overwhelmed and you do something you have committed to never doing. You yell at your kids. You stepped outside of the boundaries of your own value system. You violated your own integrity. And for someone like you who lives your life with this integrity firmly in place, you are devastated, not by what your child did, but by your own behavior in response to what your child did. I am still horrified by something I said when I was 12 years old, something that was in direct violation to my own integrity then, as well as now. I was in the 7th grade, and unlike other girls in my class, I was uncomfortable with boys liking me. I became so awkward anytime a boy showed any interest in me, I didn't have a clue what to do. So it was a Sunday night, and I had stayed home from church because I had a fever and a horrible earache. There was no such thing as urgent care, so typically you had to suffer until the doctor's office opened the next morning, and I was suffering. It didn't help that I was a bit of a drama queen about suffering. I was convinced that never before in the history of earaches had there been one as horrible as the one I was experiencing. So I'm laying on the couch, I'm in pain, and the phone rang. Mom said it was for me, so I went to the phone. This was before cell phones, so the phone was hanging on the wall in the kitchen where anyone could hear the conversation. And it was a boy. A boy at my church who I suspected liked me, and so I was always awkward around him. He asked me some question or offered some invitation, and when I said no, The words that came out of my mouth haunt me to this day. I didn't say, no, I'm sick, or no, I can't talk because I'm in pain, or no, I can't be your girlfriend because I don't want to have a boyfriend right now. No, I spewed, no, because you are ugly. Those words actually came out of my mouth. And when I hung up the phone, we never spoke again. I have no idea why I said that. Clearly, I was not in my right mind. But it was such an egregious violation of my integrity, something I had never said before or since, that it haunts me to this day. And if I found out tomorrow where he was, I would go to him and apologize like no one has ever apologized before. And since that day, I have wondered how I might have wounded him. Did I scar him for life? I have a hard time even thinking about it, which makes me wonder about all of the self-inflicted scars that we have from beating ourselves up throughout our life. And to what end? Who can actually say they are a better person because of self-recrimination? What if, instead of rumination and self-recrimination, we engaged in personal reflection as a learning exercise? What if, in doing so, mistakes turned into learning opportunities? I think they can. Here's how it would work. Something happens and you say or do something that in the past would have caused you to ruminate and lecture yourself. Your day is ruined because you have acted out of character. You have violated your own integrity. Instead of using energy by being hard on yourself, ask yourself these questions. The first is a question of description. What happened? The second question is one about your thoughts. What were you thinking then? Then you ask about your feelings. What were you feeling then? Then reflect on your actions. What actions did you take? Then you reflect on the results. What were the consequences? Then we get into the learning. What did you learn from this experience? How about growing? How did you grow as a result? And then you form an action plan. What are you going to do differently, or what have you done differently since then? You know, God has taught me to use personal reflection to identify how He has worked in me and through me throughout my life. However, we are also encouraged not to dwell on the past or on our mistakes because our energy is best spent looking ahead. As Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, "Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me and reach out for the things ahead of me." Philippians 3:13. Now that is huge when you consider some of the things in Paul's past. What if, as part of our personal reflection, we think about the people who have shaped us and the experiences that have impacted us since that thing we are reflecting on? As for me, I've learned to view the past through the lens of grace, and that includes giving grace to myself. And unlike rumination and self-recrimination, which do not redeem the past or pave the way for the future, this learning exercise of personal reflection sets the stage for continuous improvement as I am using each mistake as a learning opportunity. In the next episode, I'm going to talk about the reflective practice for teams and church staff and how it can transform continuous improvement in your organization. I go into more detail about personal reflection in my book, Come Back Home to You, Navigate Life's Transitions and Embrace Next Chapter Living. It's available on Amazon in paperback and audio. In it, I weave personal stories with coaching principles as I share how God walked me through what I call my identity crisis. I'll talk about that later, but in it, I describe in detail how I learned to navigate major life transitions so that I could thrive in the next chapter of my life. Or go to my website, BeckyBurrows.com. There you will find my free self-assessment called The 3 Pillars to Rock Solid Leadership. It will jumpstart your thinking about the strength of your leadership. It will also place you on my email list where I share additional nuggets. Check it out. I want to help you build a solid foundation upon which your leadership can stand tall. Hey, let's do this again next week. It is my prayer that this podcast inspired you, blessed you, or made you think. If so, please share it with a friend, subscribe, and please leave a review. Hey, I want to connect with you. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Send me a DM or email me at hello@beckyburrows.com. If you are a Christian woman who leads and you are interested in one of my leadership boot camps for women in ministry, this is a 4-week workshop, or becoming part of a Kairos cohort, year-long group coaching, send me a DM or an email for more information. We'll talk soon.